At this time of year, as the hours of daylight shrink, it is easy to think about the year coming to an end. The leaves have fallen from the trees. There is a crispness in the air. These things make us think about the cycle of the seasons. Fall, winter, spring, summer. In some pagan religions, they believe there was a greater cycle as well, that the universe moves through birth, growth, death, and rebirth. All of this was brought about by struggles among the gods and was ruled by chaos. Christianity takes a different path following the wisdom of Israel. God created everything for a purpose, and there is a plan that has a definite beginning and an end. In our universe, God moves all things toward order. In our gospel today, Jesus tells his disciples to read the signs of the times. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Last week, our gospel took place near the temple as Jesus and his disciples watched the widow deposit two small coins. Today, they are sitting on the Mount of Olives across a valley looking at the temple. One of the disciples had remarked on the beauty of the stones and the structure when Jesus predicted its destruction. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will happen, and what sign will there be when these things are about to come to an end?" Our gospel today tells us his answer. It contains instruction and consolation, exhorting the disciples and our church today to faith and obedience through the trials that would confront them. It can be summarized in the words, "Be awake, be watchful." If we've been paying attention to both the weekday and Sunday readings, we notice that, like the season, they've taken a dark turn. As we approach the end of the church year, we are challenged to think about the end times, the last things. Of course, we have a special word for that, eschatology. According to the glossary in the Catechism, eschatology comes from the Greek word eschaton, which means last. Eschatology refers to the area of Christian faith which is concerned about the last things, the coming of Jesus on the last day, our human destiny, death, judgment, resurrection of the body, heaven, purgatory, hell, all of which are contained in the final articles of the Creed. The biblical writings understand history as a linear movement toward this goal. God is driving history toward the ultimate fulfillment of his purposes for creation. So biblical eschatology is not limited to the destiny of the individual. It concerns the consummation of the whole history of the world, toward which all God's redemptive acts in history are directed. In his answer to his disciples, Jesus quotes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky." Jesus explicitly identifies himself as this mysterious character from Daniel, the Son of Man. In this way, it becomes a fourth announcement of his purpose here in Jerusalem, to suffer his passion, death, and resurrection. In this resurrected presence, he will bring together the elect. Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews points out, "For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated." Now, at this Mass today, we'll get a chance to actually observe some people being consecrated in the Holy Spirit as they make their profession of faith, are confirmed, and then receive Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time. Now, in that order of Christian initiation of adults, we use that term elect as a specific term for those who have never been baptized and will be baptized in the Easter Vigil next year, and we will see some of them in the dismissal as well. But all of these are part of the elect that the gospel refers to, includes all of those who are baptized. St. Augustine saw a special sign of God's love in this gathering of the elect. "The mercy of God is gathering together the fragments from every side and is forging them together by the fire of love and making one what was pulverized. That incomparable artist knew just how to do this. So let no one despair. This indeed is a great work of art, but reflect upon who the artist is. The very one who made shall restore. The one who formed shall reform. Where finally shall we come to know righteousness and truth? He will gather together the elect with him to the judgment, and the rest will be separated out. Jesus tells his disciples and us today, be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. He tells them a parable to conclude this episode in the gospel. We're like servants whose master is absent and expected to return at any time. If we are faithful servants, we go about our tasks in the same way as when the master is present. The master will return in his own time, not the time that is convenient for us. If there is chaos or tribulation going on in the house, we continue doing our chores for which we are responsible. The last thing that Jesus tells his disciples before going into Jerusalem for the last time is, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. 2 weeks ago, our gospel reminded us that our responsibilities in keeping watch come down to two requirements: to love God with all of our minds, all of our hearts, all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That is what God asks us to do while we are waiting for his return.